writers, and welcome to the Story Strategy Podcast. I'm Nancy Smay from Evident Inc., also known as Delancey Stewart from USA Today best-selling rom-com fame. Ha. Not fame. At any rate, I am here today with a slightly different format for you. In the past, we have offered lots of how-tos, basically craft-focused information about writing your book, about marketing, about understanding your comps, and creating your blurb, all of that good stuff. Today, I want to take a slightly different turn. And I think I'm going to back up a second and kind of give you a big picture update of life in the Smay/Stewart household. I'm in a weird place. I've been writing as Delancey Stewart for 10 years. And while I have enjoyed some success and I have been very happy with my career writing steamy small town rom-com, I feel like I am at kind of a pivot point. Not the kind of pivot point where I'm like, oh no, I'm so burned out, I can't do this anymore. Nothing like that. In fact, it's more just kind of a creative awakening in a way. I've realized that I have more time to devote to writing. My kids are getting older. I am now working at home full time for myself about 95% of the time. I still freelance for a couple of brand identity and marketing companies because that is kind of my secondary love and has always been my professional focus, which has been super helpful developing brands for authors as well. But I'm finding that romance was a challenge that I took on 10 years ago because I was editing romance and I knew I wanted to write a book. So that was kind of the low-hanging fruit because I was seeing the structure and the formula kind of over and over again as an editor. And I felt like as a writer, that would be the easiest way to begin. I understood the tropes. I understood the story structure, the need for conflict and how to fit it in. And when I say I understood these things 10 years ago, I understood the idea of them. It took me probably more than most people, years to figure out how to actually write a good story. And, you know, I would like to think that I have mastered it to some degree at this point. It no longer feels like a muscle that I haven't used before. Every time I sit down to start a new book, it feels familiar at this point. And that's not a bad thing. And I'm going to lean into that, especially because my hockey rom-com series is doing well. And I'm not going to run away at this point. That said, I have been wanting to learn something new. I think in the same way that I get a wild hair now and then to take up piano or go to a ceramics class, I want to learn a different genre. And I've toyed around in lots of different romance adjacent genres, but my first love as a reader was cozy mystery. I didn't know that's what it was. I was just reading Nancy Drew books and Agatha Christie books, but that's what it was. And I have always read mysteries and thrillers before anything else. To this day, I don't choose to read romance most of the time. I read so much of it when I'm editing for other people and coaching that I have a good feel for where the market is most of the time without having to scan and read the bestseller lists. But when I read for pleasure, it's usually a thriller or a mystery novel. So that seemed like a natural fit. And I have been having a really good time building a new website, creating a new list, doing all of the things that come along with becoming a new writer. And I'm launching a pen name, Nancy Stewart, to write cozy mystery. And I'm really excited about it. And I even talked to a story coach yesterday because I had been looking for me, basically, except I'm only a good story coach for romance because I've been doing it so long. I know how it works and I can help you work through your plot questions and make sure that the conflict is strong and that your characters are relatable and all that good stuff. But I needed somebody who could walk through the red herrings and the clues and the actual crime and like, does this make sense? And do I have enough suspects and all of that kind of stuff that I never think about? And being a not plotter, I'm not a pantser. I don't know what I am, but I'm not a plotter. It's hard because if you think about it, a mystery has to be very logical. And so I get to know my characters as I'm writing them. And I wrote about half of this book and then ran into a wall and realized that I needed a little bit of guidance. So I had a really fun conversation with a mystery, cozy mystery expert yesterday, and I'm off and running again. And it just feels so refreshing to be looking at something totally different. Even the Facebook world that I enter into when I become Nancy Stewart online is a completely different world from the romance social media that I see and have seen for the last 10 years. And that's refreshing too. So potentially on the back of Readers Take Denver, I felt I needed a step away from romance. And it wasn't the romance community that made that that signing difficult. But it played into it a little bit. Or maybe it just all kind of accumulated, is that a word? Accumulated, I guess, to make me realize that I needed something else. So with that in mind, I think that this podcast is going to become something else as well. Part of that is because, you know, Dawn Alexander is off doing Dawn Alexander things, which are all wonderful and exciting, but she is not on a weekly podcast with me at this point, and we're not discussing story together. And though that makes me sad in some ways, it also opens the door for new opportunities. And I think that one of the things I most love to hear writers talk about is their process. Everything from, you know, where do you get ideas to the actual doing of the thing. And I think that those types of conversations are always so useful, especially not even especially to new writers, but to all writers, because it goes to show that there is no one way to get this job done. There is no one way to thrill and delight readers. There is no one way to market a book or to create a book. So I think that we're going to kind of step behind the curtain and talk to some writers on a weekly-ish basis about their process and other things, kind of writer bullshit. If I could just call this anything, I'd call it bullshitting with writers. So today, the first writer that we're going to bullshit with is me, Delancey Stewart / Nancy Stewart. So I'll give you kind of a taste of what we're going to run through with guests who I will be having on, if I can get any of my friends and acquaintances to agree to do this with me. And I think I can. I'm very persuasive. So here are some of the things that I will talk to them about. The first thing that I will probably want to know is kind of how did they get started? Who are they? What do they write? Where can we find them? That kind of stuff. So you guys already know all of that about me. You know that I have been writing for publication as Delancey Stewart for about 10 years, focused in the last 5 for sure on steamy small town rom-com. And prior to that, wrote a whole bunch of crap all over the place because, as Melanie Harlow likes to tell me, I was not good at staying in my lane. So I've been in the same lane for about 5 years, and that's been going well. So that's Delancey Stewart. But then I just talked to you a little bit about how Nancy Stewart is being born as we speak. I also am always interested in how writers get their ideas. Where do they come from and how do they know if they're going to make a good book? So for me, my ideas come from everywhere. For romance, at first it was hard. I remember when I started, I was like, okay, I have one idea. It's the only idea I have, so I hope it's going to work. And it was a stupid idea. I mean, it wasn't. I'd still like to write this book, but it's like, it was not an easy idea. It was very complicated. It involved 2 separate timelines. It was just a mess. And that was when I started editing romance and seeing that simple often was better. So I think through repetition of reading and looking at other authors' work, I started to figure out what kinds of ideas would work. And honestly, for romance, it's all in the tropes, right? Like the other day, I was looking for my single dad books for a promo that I'm putting together. And I realized I haven't written a hockey single dad book. And so voila, all of a sudden I was like, oh, I know what I can do. And it just kind of came to me because I have a whole hockey team full of players that I already know. I need a single dad. And so because pro sports players aren't necessarily often going to have kids because A, they're young and B, they're kind of out of town all the time. I needed to kind of figure out how that would work. And that got my brain ticking like, okay, so what if this happened and what if this happened? And then you have to think about how will the other lead play into this? And it's a muscle, like I was saying. So I think my ideas at this point come from tropes for romance. And for murder, that's a part of my brain that's just starting to tick into gear, which terrifies my husband because I'm constantly interested in cool ways to kill people, which is, probably terrifying. So those ideas are less abundant, but I can feel that muscle is growing too. And that's exciting as a writer to be challenging a new part of my brain, to be learning a new craft. So the next question that I always want to know is whether a writer is a plotter or a pantser or something in between. And as I have already told you many times, I am not a plotter. I have always wanted to be a plotter. And unfortunately, I think a lot of us non-plotters feel that way. Like if we could just fill out a worksheet or a spreadsheet or, you know, tick these boxes, that it would be so much easier. But I honestly don't think it is. I think the same amount of work goes into writing a book, no matter where you're putting it in. For plotters, perhaps they put in more work up front and that's somehow easier for them. For me, if I already know these characters inside and out, if I already know everything that's going to happen in their story, I don't see the point of writing it because it's already been told to me by me. So plotting is boring to me and I just can't make myself do it because it takes all the fun out of being a writer. And if writing isn't fun, then why the hell would I do it? So I'm somewhere in between. I know what's going to happen in the book. I know the setting. I know enough about the characters to get started with them, but they tell me a lot as we go. And that's the fun of it. It's a little bit like magic to me. And I worry about tweaking that too much because I might mess it up and steal the magic. So that is why I am not a plotter, because I'm superstitious, I guess. The next thing I want to know from myself is how has the process of imagining a book and then moving into actually writing the book changed for you over the years? And for me, the answer is pretty easy. It's gotten faster. I can usually, if I know what the book is about and I've done enough thinking about the conflict and the wounds and the, you know, mystery is a whole different animal, so I can't tell you really on that side yet. But for romance, I can put a book together in about 60 days, which isn't super fast. It's also not super slow. If I had to, I think I could get out 6 to 8 books a year. I think my comfortable process is more like 4 books a year. But as soon as I'm done with one, I'm working on the next. So I like to say that those processes kind of layer. The thinking, the not plotting, the planning is happening even as I'm finishing the production on the previous book, if that makes sense. So there's always one coming. When I don't have one going on, I feel like a slacker, like I have dropped the ball and need to get back on the horse. Maybe I can use 16 more cliches here to explain what I'm trying to say. And do you do any kind of market research at the ideation stage? And my answer is absolutely, oh my God, yes, a lot. And I know that there are writers who are like, no, my ideas are my own and I don't want to go see what's selling. Like that would take all the fun out of writing the book. I'm writing it because I'm an artist. I am very much not that. I want to sell the books. I want them to make money. I want to make sure that I am delivering what readers are looking for because this is my job. And I'm not lucky enough to have, you know, independent income that allows me to write whatever. So yeah, especially starting a new genre, I spent months researching, reading, looking at the market, looking at covers, understanding titling conventions, trying to figure out what the tropes are, which tropes are for who. And then there was another layer, because I really think that a lot of my Delancey Stewart audience will pull, because the reader demographics are very similar between those who I know read Delancey Stewart books and those who read cozy mystery in the subgenre that I'm looking at. And I've already talked to so many of my readers about this change that I'm making and whether they're going to take a chance and read a mystery, or if they already know for sure they're into mystery. So yes, a ton of market research before I will really start writing a book, because I don't want to pour 2 months into something that I can't sell. All right. The next questions that I want to ask my writer friends are about process, sort of the how do you actually do it? Because I find this so interesting. You guys know that I have worked with Melanie Harlow a lot in, on the editing side. I'm one of her editors. She has a bunch. But she writes in vellum, which it just blows my mind, because it's not really a writing software. It's a production software or a formatting software. But that's her process. It works for her. I write in Scrivener. And there's so many different ways to use Scrivener. It's such a, it's like the Atlantic Ocean, and I have scooped a bucket full of water, and that's the part of it that I'm using. But I think there's so much more that it can do that I don't even know about. And honestly, I don't care. It works the way I need it to. So every chapter is not a folder, but a file inside of a folder. The whole manuscript is one folder. I'm not very complex about the way that I do this, but I do like being able to drag those around and add a new scene in here very easily and cut and paste. I did find out today that if you cut and paste from Google Docs, when you paste it in Scrivener, it's just a whole bunch of question marks in boxes. Like the words are gone. So don't do that. There's probably a way to do it. I'm not that smart. So, or actually it's more like I don't care. Like I don't really need to be able to do that. I had an idea and that was what I was trying to do, but it doesn't matter. Anyway, so I write in Scrivener. And then I do my reread in Scrivener as well. When I read it myself several times afterwards, I will sometimes print it and then do a hard copy read with my editing eyes, because it helps me step away from the writing, being in front of the keyboard, and focus more on the editing. Because I'm old. So when I got my first job out of college editing, it was hard copy and I had to learn all the fancy editing marks and everything. And so that's, I think when I have something in front of me and a red pen, my brain just kicks into like, okay, you're not writing this, you are editing this. And I get a more critical eye. So after I do that, I will throw it into Word. Actually, I print it from Word. And then I stick it in something called Perfectit, which is an editing software that I use in my business as well. That catches stupid things that I wouldn't catch. Consistency, it edits to the Chicago Manual of Style. So if there's a preferred usage, then Perfectit will use that usage. You know, like things like backwards shouldn't have an S for CMOS or for common usage at this point. And most of us use backwards instead of backward. So little things like that get caught on that round. And then I send it to Dawn, usually Alexander, who is my developmental editor and romance writing coach. If I ever need help, I chat with Dawn, because I can't remember which book it was, but I dedicated one to her. And I think the whole dedication was just because she knows how to do magic, because I came to her with this book and was like, it's not working. And she was like, all you have to do is this and it's fine. And magic, it works. I think that's my most popular book. I want to say it's Grumpy Goalie. So thank you, Dawn. But you need somebody like that who can, all she does for me, I mean, it's a lot, I shouldn't say all, is she gives it a good read. And then she gives me all the big story notes like, hey, so this guy was going to do this, but he never actually does that through the whole book. And you leave the reader hanging, stuff like that. She catches all my plot holes, inconsistencies, things that I thought were a great idea, but are not. she also flags words and phrases that I get very attached to. And it turns out every book has a word or a phrase. When I wrote Shaking the Sleigh, this was my favorite one that I got attached to. She came back to me, it's a Christmas book, and she was like, I would not have thought that it was possible to use the word festooned 11 times in a book of this length, but you did it. So she's good at catching all that kind of stuff. Kind of gives me a reality check, makes sure that the story is where it needs to be, catches some crazy language stuff. And then I run it through a line edit and a proofread. And then I publish it. And at this point, I publish to my own shop first, so that anyone who does not read Kindle Unlimited can download a copy from BookFunnel, read on whatever platform they prefer. They get 2 weeks to grab it off my shop, and I sell it at a cheaper price usually than I will sell it on Amazon, because when I put it on Amazon, it's mostly for KU readers. I don't imagine that a ton of people are going to buy it at the cover price. So that's kind of the way that I straddle both worlds. And I know now that we're talking about marketing and not process so much, but it all kind of goes together to me. And in terms of covers, I will, for the hockey series, I still have photo model covers, and then I have a discrete cover. And I think I'm moving towards selling the discrete special edition covers only on my shop. That's not the case right now, but I think I'm going to get there. It's just a lot to manage, and I'm just one person, you know? So things don't always happen at the speed I would like for them to. Let's see. How long do you take to write a book? We talked about that. Is it a linear process? For me, it is. Start to finish. Yes, that's how the book gets written. I am not good at dancing around. I do it when I have to, like in revision, but it stresses me out. It makes me feel like there are parts I will forget that are still hanging out. And so that's me problem. I do use beta readers, and I have an ARC team that is like my final proofread. They always catch the final typos. They're amazing. There's about 100 of them. And so that is a great, you know, kind of sanity check before the book actually goes out. And that's pretty much it for process. And then I was going to ask about marketing. We talked a little bit about that. I do more for a first in series in terms of launching than I do for the rest of the books in the series. And sometimes I'm just lazy, honestly. And I have enough of a backlist now that if I'm promoting my backlist, then I don't know. I'm lazy. That's all it is. But I do use Facebook ads. I finally figured out how to make them work in a way that makes sense to me and delivers results for me. I have played at Instagram and TikTok, and I would love to say that I'm really good at TikTok and that I spend lots of time there, but that was the big problem, was that when I was investing in TikTok, it ate up hours of my day, hours, and I just don't have that. So I am not currently TikToking or whatever you call that. Someday, perhaps. I know for mystery, it's kind of an open opportunity, I'm hearing, because not a lot of mystery authors are doing it. So potentially it's in the future. I have more marketing questions, but I don't want to talk about marketing. And the last questions that I have are on mindset. So trust me, when I have another author here, it will probably be more fun chatting. I get bored talking to myself. So I will go into marketing with other authors, especially because part of the reason it's not exciting for me to talk to myself about marketing is because I think this is the place where we always, all of us, feel like there are things that we could be doing that we're not. Because you just don't have the time to do all the things. None of us do. And even though I have a PA who is amazing and does anything I ask her to do more competently than I can do it, I still can't do all the things. You know, she has a life too, evidently. So she can't do all the things for me. And I think there's so much control that authors need to keep over their marketing, especially. And I have a bad habit of not mentioning things to her. Like, for instance, I always have a backlist book that's free, and I'll run promos to that backlist book on a sort of every other weekly basis. And I sometimes forget to tell her that there's a free book and which one it is. And oh, by the way, that one that was free last month is no longer free, so maybe stop mentioning it. I'm bad at that kind of communication because I think I'm just used to doing everything myself. But anyway, the last thing I was going to talk about with whoever will be here next time is mindset. How do you keep yourself excited about writing? And I think this was kind of one of the things I was talking about at the beginning of this episode. New challenges are important, I think. Even if your new challenge is a different trope, something that you've never tried, or you're going to do a retelling for the first time, or, you know, giving yourself a little bit of a challenge. I remember when I wrote, I had a duet. It was Happily Ever His and Happily Ever Hers, which became the first two books in my Singletree series. But initially, it was just this random thing I decided to do. I wanted to tell the same weekend from two sisters' perspectives. And I wanted to have those stories so intertwined that it was almost like a mystery. Like, you didn't see certain things from the one POV, and you had to get the second book to see those same events in a different way and understand the full picture of what was happening over the weekend. So that was a challenge that I set for myself for absolutely no reason whatsoever, except that I think I needed a challenge. And it was fun and it was hard. And I had to, like, one of the hardest things I think for writers to do is keep track of details from one book to the next. And that challenge required it. So I won't be doing it again. let's see, what else? Do you have a community or attend conferences? So a while ago, I was very involved in RWA. Might have been the vice president. I don't remember exclusively because that was the year that our chapter of romance writers kind of suffered a lot of drama, and there were things that needed to be adjusted. And I was on the board, and everything blew up, and it just was kind of crazy. And so it wasn't pleasant. And it was more like a crisis management situation that I found myself in. And while I think it was what happened, and you can certainly find information about this online if you're very curious about the drama, but what happened needed to happen, but it was just a lot of interpersonal dynamics and conflict, which I am the most conflict averse person you'll ever meet. So it just wasn't my happy place to be. And it really soured me on the whole organization, which kind of exploded after that for the same reasons, shortly after our chapter imploded. So, that was my community. And honestly, most of the writers who I know now, I probably met at some point through RWA. Although I also reached out, I've never been shy about reaching out to other writers on Facebook. And so I did join a little community, gosh, a decade ago, of writers who at this point are almost all pretty well known and very successful. So I was just really lucky to find those ladies and to be included. So I have sounding boards when I need them. And then I do attend conferences. I haven't done as much lately, but this year I'm going to go to NINC, which I'm excited about. And I'm going to go to CozyCon, which is Becca Symes, R.L. Symes is her cozy name. It's her Cozy Mystery Conference. So I'm very excited about that. I've been to her Strengths Conference. I try to go to one or two things a year where other writers will be, where there will be some time for hanging out and chatting and friendship, because this is such a weird career. I have other friends. I have lots of other friends, but I can't talk to them about writing. Like, they understand what writing is, but they don't understand this world that we all live in. So I think community is super important, and conferences are a great way to find it. I do read craft books, not as often as perhaps I should, but when one comes out that everyone's talking about, then for sure I will read it, especially because I spend so much time counseling other authors on craft. So I try to stay on top of those things, at least read, you know, the Cliff's Notes version, if nothing else. And what do you do to maintain your health? I am a huge Orange Theory fitness addict. So I go to three to six classes a week, depending on what's going on. And that's like a HIIT style workout. I turned 51 this year. So maintaining bone density and muscle mass are my two goals in life. I've given up on vanity, not completely, but a lot. I used to work out because I was vain and I wanted to stay slim. Now I really don't care what the scale says. I do care what it says in terms of muscle mass, because I know as we age, that is the thing that women really need to focus on. And I watched my mom die last year. And one of the things that was really striking was just how thin and frail she had become. And I know partially that's inevitable, but I learned some lessons that I took to heart. And so eat a lot of protein and fiber, lift a lot of heavy weights, and revel in the development of muscles that I haven't seen in a while. And that is kind of how I keep my mind clear and my body moving. And I think that's it. So those are kind of the things that I want to go through with other authors. Hopefully that will be interesting to you. If you think it will be, I would love to hear from you. If you have other questions that you really want me to ask people or specific authors you want me to try to chat with, please let me know. Any feedback that I get from you helps make this feel less like me just chatting at the camera and more like us building a community together. So do get in touch. You can reach me at Evident Inc. There is a form on the site, or you can just email me, Nancy, at Evident Inc. It's EvidentInk.com. You can also find me on Facebook or at either of my author websites, DelanceyStewart.com or NancyStewartAuthor.com. I hope that this has been fun for you. It was fun for me. And I will see you again soon. Thank you.
You can find story writing tips, tricks, coaching, and courses at our site, www.evidentinc.com. Get live feedback in our writing community at Facebook at facebook.com/evidentinc. And find past episodes of Story Strategy at our YouTube channel. Story powers the world, and we can't wait to help you tell yours.